Yashodanandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yashodanandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Gauranita, Jaya Gauranita, Gauranita, Jaya Gauranita, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Krishna Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namne. Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Pashatya Deshatarine. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shri Vasadi, Gaura Bhaktavinoda. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya. Naram chaiva narottamam. Devim sarasvatim vyasam. Tato jaya mudirayat. Nashta praishu abhadreshu. Nityam bhagavata sevaya. Bhagavati uttama shloke. Bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. Thank you for allowing me to speak on the Bhagavatam today and requesting the blessings of all the senior Vaishnavas who may be listening. Please bless me, I can say something helpful for today, as well as the blessings of all the Vaishnavas. So we are on Canto 1, Chapter 15. The Pandavas retire timely. And today we are honoring Shloka 47 and 48. So I thought we could do 47 responsively, and then we can say 48 all together. Otherwise, it's too much chanting. So we'll do the first four lines responsibly. Tadyano kritaya bhaktya Vishuddha dishana pare Tasmin narayana pade Ekanta mata yogatim Tadyanot kritaya bhaktya Vishuddha dishana pare Tasmin narayana pade Ekanta mata yogatim. Please chant. Tadhyana kritaya bhaktya
Vishuddha dishana pare
Vishuddha dishana pare
Tasmin narayana pade
Tasmin narayana pade
Ekanta mata yogatim.
Ekanta mata yogatim. Tadhyana kritaya bhaktya Vishuddha dishana pare Tasmin narayana pade Ekanta mata yogatim Tadyana kritaya bhaktya Vishuddha dishana pare Tasmin narayana pade Ekanta mata yogatim Tadyanat kritaya bhaktya Vishuddha dishana pare Tasmin narayana pade Ekanta mata yogatim. Okay, let's do the second four all together. Second four lines. Avapur durva pamte asadvir vishayatmabhi vidyuta kama sastanam virajinatmanai vahi. Synonyms, please repeat along if you would like. Tat, that, dhyana. Positive meditation, udkritaya, being freed from, bhaktya, by a devotional attitude, vishuddha, purified, dishanaha, by intelligence, pare, unto the transcendence, tasmin, in that, narayana, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, pade, unto the lotus feet, ekanta matya, of those who are fixed in the supreme, who is one, gatim, destination, avapu, attained, durvapam, very difficult to obtain. T, te by them, asad bihi, by the materialist, vishaya atma bihi, absorbed in material needs, viduta, washed off, kalmasha, material contamination, sthanam, abode, virajena, without material passion, atmana eva, by the self-same body, he, certainly. Thus, translation by Srila Prabhupada, thus by pure consciousness due to constant devotional remembrance, they attain the spiritual sky, which is ruled over by the Supreme Narayan, Lord Krishna. This is attained only by those who meditate upon the one Supreme Lord without deviation. This abode of the Lord Sri Krishna, known as Goloka Vrindavan, cannot be attained by persons who are absorbed in the material conception of life, but the Pandavas, being completely washed of all material contamination, attain that abode in their very same bodies. So I'm going to say it once again, so please repeat. Thus, by pure consciousness, due to constant devotional remembrance, they attain the spiritual sky, which is ruled over by the Supreme Narayan, Lord Krishna. This is attained only by those who meditate upon the one Supreme Lord without deviation. This abode of the Lord Sri Krishna, known as Goloka Vrindavan, cannot be attained by persons who are absorbed in the material conception of life. But the Pandavas, being completely washed of all material contamination, attain that abode in their very same bodies. Thank you. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, a person freed from the three modes of material qualities, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance, and situated in transcendence, can reach the highest perfection of life without change of body. Srila Sanatana Goswami, in his Hari Bhakti Vilas, says that a person, whatever he may be, can attain the perfection of a twice-born brahmana by undergoing the spiritual disciplinary actions under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, exactly as a chemist can turn gun metal into gold by chemical manipulation. It is therefore the actual guidance that matters in the process of becoming a brahmana, even without change of body, or in going back to Godhead without change of body. Srila Jiva Goswami remarks that the word he used in this connection but positively affirms this truth, and there is no doubt about this factual position. One more paragraph. The Bhagavad Gita 14:26 also affirms the statement of Srila Jiva Goswami when the Lord says that anyone who executes devotional service by systematically without deviation can attain the perfection of Brahman by surpassing the contamination of the three modes of material nature, and when the Brahman perfection is still more advanced by the self-same execution of devotional service, there is no doubt at all that one can attain the supreme spiritual planet Goloka Vrindavan without change of body, as we have already discussed in connection with the Lord returning to his abode without a change of body. Chakshu-unmilitanyena tasmai shri guruvyanamaha chakalpa-karibhyascha kripa-sindhubhya-evacha patitanam pavanagyo vaishnavibhyo namaha. So here we have a very high exalted topic today, which somehow fell on me. And I just want to reiterate that anything that I say about our philosophy or our tattva, I'm just parroting Srila Prabhupada's words, so it's not that I'm speaking on these high topics of my own ideas, but I'm just, busily researching Prabhupada's words and trying to present them to you. So that is my position, especially in these very high topics. So here in this chapter, at this point, Maharaj Yudhishthira has decided to return back to Godhead after installing his grandson, Maharaj Parikshit, upon the throne. And similarly, the younger Pandavas, having observed their oldest brother and also noticing that the age of Kali has, you know, set upon the world and people are becoming more irreligious. People are becoming more irreligious due to the onset of age of Kali. And they understood that this is no longer like a favorable situation, and we're also going to go back to Godhead. You know, this is the right time also. So all the Pandavas decided to return back to Godhead at this point, at the onset of Kali Yuga. And so what did they do? They meditated upon the lotus feet of Sri Krishna as the supreme goal of all, and through that constant meditation and the constant remembrance. Today, the shloka is saying they achieve the spiritual sky in their very same bodies. So here in the last part of the purport, Prabhupada mentions Bhagavad Gita 14:26, and he also quotes Jiva Goswami. So Prabhupada says, Lord says that Jiva Goswami and Prabhupada say that anyone who executes devotional service systematically without deviation can attain the perfection of Brahman by surpassing the contamination of the three modes of material nature. Right? So that's the Brahma-Bhuta platform. And when the Brahman perfection is still more advanced by execution of devotional service, there is no doubt at all that one can attain the supreme spiritual planet, Goloka Vrindavan, without a change of body. So we'll discuss that a little more later, and we'll find out that Prabhupada says that this is for those pure devotees who are very advanced, you know, this program of entering the spiritual world without changing in the self-same body, their material body is becoming spiritualized and entering into the spiritual world. That is a program for very advanced pure devotees. So just because Prabhupada mentions Bhagavad Gita 14:26 here, it seems that we should discuss it a little bit. Mamcha yogya vicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan sammatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Right, so first there's the stage of Brahman, Brahma-Bhuta platform, which is being freed from the modes of material nature. And then further than the Brahma-Bhuta platform is engaging in devotional service, you know, in devotion to Krishna. And Prabhupada is making the point here in the purport to that shloka that one who engages in pure devotional service, he's already at the Brahma-Bhuta platform, so he's sort of taken the elevator program, right? Because it's Brahma-Bhuta being free from the modes, and then devotional service is even higher, but one who just engages in devotional service, he automatically achieves that Brahma-Bhuta platform. So just a little bit about how a devotee's body becomes spiritualized, because in order for the Pandavas to enter into the spiritual world in the same bodies, obviously their bodies had become spiritualized by some process. So one class that Prabhupada gave in Surat in 1970, and we've all heard this metaphor, is the metaphor of the iron rod. And if the iron rod is kept in the fire, what happens gradually becomes warmer and warmer, and at last it becomes red. When it is red, it is no longer iron, it is fire. Similarly, by spiritual association, your body gradually becomes spiritualized. And at the perfection stage, there is no more material activity, simply the activities of fire. The whole body becomes supplemented with Brahman effulgence. It is not for everyone, and those who are very, very much spiritually advanced, their bodies can become like that. And then Prabhupada also makes a point that anything can be accomplished by Krishna's will or Krishna's desire. So Prabhupada says, so not that this material body can be transformed into spiritual body by the Supreme, so not that this material body cannot be transformed into spiritual body by the Supreme Lord, the Lord. Anything can be changed. We think that this is stereotyped, it cannot be transformed. No, that is not a fact. By the Supreme Will, anything can be changed into anything. So ultimately, thank you. So ultimately, it comes down, the ultimate sentence is Krishna's will or Krishna's desire. But also, as Prabhupada is stating here, for the very advanced devotees, his body can become spiritualized just like an iron rod that's placed into the fire, and that iron rod becomes fire itself. And what is that fire? That fire is association, spiritual association. Spiritual association, your body gradually becomes spiritualized. So it seems like that is the foremost thing, proper association with pure devotees. Obviously engage in the nine processes of devotional service. Dhruva Maharaj was an example of how his body became spiritualized, and he was also able to enter into the spiritual world in the very same body. And this is in the fourth canto. When his Vaikuntha plane came, he offered his respects to the associates of Vishnu and to the plane before riding in it. But in the meantime, his body changed into spiritual existence, and therefore it was illuminating like molten gold. In this way, he also became one with the other paraphernalia, Vishnu Loka. So I have a question here for the Alachua Pandits. So if a very advanced devotee enters the spiritual world in the very same body, does that mean that he does not die? Because it seems like if there's death, there's like a change of body, even if that body becomes spiritualized. I mean, even if you achieve a spiritual body at death, there's a change of body. But if there is no change of body, then does that pure devotee not die? Did you want to comment on that, please? Yeah, the question is, this is my question for the Alachua Pandits, because I was wondering myself. So, if a very advanced devotee enters the spiritual world in the very same body, does that mean that there's no death for him? Because even if one attains a spiritual body, there's a change of body. But if he goes to the spiritual world in the same body, is there no death for that devotee, per se? Is there no, like, change?
Nice.
Oh, we can research.
Oh, that's very nice. It's a very nice question. I was just thinking, like, when somebody drink poison, that separates the physical body from the subtle body, which is carrying the soul. So when you think of body, there is many things to consider. Like if I drink poison, so people will say I'm dead. I'm not dead. The physical body separated from the subtle body, which is actually carrying the soul still. I'm still there, but my physical world connection through the physical body is disconnected. So when we say sense gratification, the verse you quoted, mamcho jo abhyabhicharina bhakti jogena sevate sagunan samati teitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Thank you for bringing that verse. Prabhupada mentioned, but you elaborated, it's very nice. The word it says abhyabhicharina. The abhyabhicharina, Prabhupada, I think he used many places, many ways, like uninterrupted, unfailing, means, but bevichar means temptation or wrongdoing. Abevichar means not went to that route. He stick to the devotional service, following the regulative principles. So abevichar means, so if I am not involved in the sense gratification, then I am with Paramatma. No interruption. I am with Krishna. So that's as good as through that devotional service, I am in the spiritual realm, spiritual domain. But when we think of the Pandavas were walking through the Himalaya side and their body fell, that conception is a sadhaka Pandavas, not Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam promotes that the eternal associate has an eternal parshad body. It's eternally there. It's not interrupted by the three modes. So what Mahabharata says, because somebody may ask the question then. Because in Mahabharata it says that they took the route to through the Himalaya when they walked and they fell, their body fell. But those are like a sadhaka. 7.9.10. Prabhupada quote, interesting, that Narad Muni and Prahlad Maharaj both have a two Narada, two Prahlad. Also there is a two Uddhava, I found Prabhupada also saying. So one Uddhava is eternal associate, went back home with the Jadavas. They never, but the sadhaka, the practitioner who became purified, his Vastu Siddhi meeting Krishna, he went to Badrikasram. So that we have to, I guess, discriminate.
It's very high level, yeah.
Yeah, but it's good to know. So if you say, but the soul is the body, not the soul has a body. Maybe Indian English. Because sometimes in American English you say, oh, the soul has a body. Okay, that's understood. But soul is the body. Not that soul has a separate. I mean, soul has, in conditioned life, they assume the body of subtle body, gross body. But in a pure state, Vishuddha Satta, that word is also there, right, today?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Vishuddha. In a spiritual realm, the soul is the body. There's no difference between the body and the soul.
Thank you. So, found a nice shloka about the changing, so slightly different topic, how the devotee, pure devotee, changes body at the end of his life. Right? So it's not like a common passing away. It's very special. So it's a slightly different topic than entering the spiritual world in the self-same body, but I think it's also relevant. So this is from First Canto, 6th chapter. And in due course of time, when a pure devotee is completely prepared, all of a sudden the change of body occurs, which is commonly called death. And for the pure devotee, such a change takes place exactly like lightning, and illumination follows simultaneously.
Well, that's not a dream.
So it happens very quickly. Yeah, that chapter. Mm-hmm. So for the pure devotee, such a change takes place exactly like lightning, and illumination follows simultaneously. That is to say, a devotee simultaneously changes his material body and develops a spiritual body by the will of the Supreme. So it's like a simultaneous occurrence. Even before death, a pure devotee has no material affection due to his body's being spiritualized like a red-hot iron in contact with fire. So I thought that was a nice addition to what we're talking about. So, just to bring it down a little bit more to our level, how I guess the ultimate goal of Krishna consciousness is that we want to be able to remember Krishna at the end of our life, right? So Prabhupada says it's not going to happen automatically, that is a cultivation. The word cultivation is used often. So it makes sense, you know, we're talking about consciousness, like Krishna consciousness. So whatever our consciousness is at the time of death, that is our next destination. So we have to cultivate that consciousness throughout our life. And Prabhupada says, remembrance of Krishna is not possible for the impure soul who has not practiced Krishna consciousness in devotional service. Therefore, one should practice Krishna consciousness from the very beginning of life. One's thoughts during the course of one's life accumulate to influence one's thoughts at the moment of death. So this life creates one's next life. If in one's present life one lives in the mode of goodness and always thinks of Krishna, it is possible for one to remember Krishna at the end of one's life. That will help one to be transferred to the transcendental nature of Krishna. If one is transcendentally absorbed in Krishna's service, then his next body will be transcendental, not material. Right? So it's all about our consciousness and our conceptions that we cultivate throughout our life. And as we know from the 15th chapter in the Gita, that the conceptions are carried from body to body like aromas in the air. The living entity in this material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another as the air carries aromas. So it's this conception that we have to cultivate and change, and it's a subtle body and impressions that we have to change throughout our life, and hopefully, ultimately, through the process of bhakti, we dissolve the subtle body completely and receive our spiritual body. So I was thinking a nice example of how it does matter, like what we focus on throughout our life or throughout the day, what we cultivate and the thoughts we think and the actions we take, how it does matter and how it does like manifest in some way that we can't, that is kind of beyond us. So I was thinking of like a very practical example of if you're like thinking about something a lot, right? Or you're like meditating or like on something or like a person or even a movie that you've seen many times, what happens? Like you'll dream about that eventually, right? It'll like show up in your dreams. So I thought how that was a nice example of something that you focus on, you know, and that you absorb your consciousness in, it comes out in like some other way, right? That is like sort of beyond you, beyond your conscious experience. It comes out in your dreams. So it's sort of a tangible way to understand how that, what we think about and what we focus on, how that does manifest in some other way. The living entity is described as Ishvara, the controller of his own body. If he likes, he can change his body to a higher grade, and if he likes, he can move to a lower class. Minute independence is there, so that is where independence is. The change his body undergoes depends upon him. At the time of death, the consciousness he has created will carry him on to the next type of body. So again, consciousness. His present body and his present activities are the background for his next body. Consciousness is originally pure like water, but if we mix water with a certain color, it changes. Similarly, consciousness is pure, for the spirit soul is pure, but consciousness is changed according to the association of the material qualities. Real consciousness is Krishna consciousness. When, therefore, one is situated in Krishna consciousness, he is in his pure life. But if his consciousness is adulterated by some type of material mentality, in the next life he gets a corresponding body. And as I've already stated, so ultimately we want to dissolve the subtle body through the practice of devotional service so that we are not carried onto another material body, right? So that we are carried to a spiritual body. So basically we just have to keep on practicing devotional service, and not only keep on practicing, but you know, go deeper every day, go deeper into our relationship with Krishna and our relationship with the Holy Name. So just one more quick point, and then we'll see if there's any discussion. So I've already mentioned this idea how we have to, bhakti is a cultivation, like we hear this word in our scriptures, bhakti is a cultivation. And Rupa Goswami in the Upadeshamrita number 3, he also calls it a cultivation. And also Lord Chaitanya, we're actually in that part in the CC right now. We're talking about us being cultivating our creeper of bhakti, us being the gardener of our creeper of bhakti, and watering it with. What do we water our creeper of bhakti with? Shravanam Kirtanam. So there's another idea of this cultivation. This bhakti is being cultivated, and we're watering our creeper of bhakti with Shravanam Kirtanam, which will eventually grow into the spiritual world, to the lotus feet of Krishna, and there it will sprout the fruits of ecstatic love of God. And even while we're still in this material world, and how do we damage the creeper? The creeper is damaged mostly by Vaishnava Aparad, is the mad elephant offense that can mostly damage our creeper, and we have to defend it by fencing it in, by following the process of devotional service and associating with pure devotees. So that is a cultivation that we want to maintain throughout our devotional life, so that at the end of our life, our consciousness can be focused on Krishna, that we can have actual remembrance of Krishna. It's not going to happen if we don't cultivate throughout our life. Right? And then hopefully, at the time of death, receive a spiritual body, which happens like thunder and illumination simultaneously. Or, for the very advanced soul, enter into the spiritual world in the self-same material body that has become spiritualized. Okay, I'll finish there for now. We'll see if there's any particular discussion. Thank you for listening. Let me know if there's any corrections. Oh, sure, the Dhruva Maharaj. I'm prepared for those types of questions. So, 4:12:29. When his Vaikuntha plane came, he offered his respects to the associates of Vishnu and to the plane before riding in it. But in the meantime, his body changed into spiritual existence, and therefore it was illuminating like molten gold. In this way, he also became one with the other paraphernalia of Vishnuloka. Any other discussion points or questions?
When Dhruva Maharaj boarded the airplane, he is one of the rare examples that he boarded in the same body. And generally, when everybody leaves, like Prabhupada, it's a mystical understanding, because Rupa Goswami Pad also left this world. He also left his body here. So what is the difference between spiritualized body versus Satchidananda body? Both are spiritual, I understand. It means above the three modes. When we say transcendental, it means above the three modes. But I didn't get, I mean, I'm satisfied what I got information so far, that spiritualized body means is not Satchidananda necessarily. Satchidananda cannot be destroyed at any level, it's clear. But spiritualized body means those who descend from the spiritual world, like Prabhupada, Rupa Goswami Pada, they have their eternal sadhaka body when they come to preach in Mahaprabhu's mission, whenever Mahaprabhu brings them. But that sadhaka body is 100% spiritual, but it's little different than Satchidananda body they have in spiritual world.
Yeah, because they don't burn their bodies, and they do leave their bodies, right? But they don't burn them.
Correct.
They're entombed in a samadhi.
Right.
But they are.
Because there's a benefit.
But they are like, so it is, has become spiritualized, but they are in their another form, in a spiritual form.
Well, for a Prabhupada, he claimed, at least this is what he says, out of humility or not, I don't know, but I'm taking as it is. Spiritualized. Spiritualized as you promoted that sloka, you'd say. Mamcha jo baby charana bhakti jogana. So when somebody is following, fully engaged, in, then they immediately transcend. But then somebody has to be fully aware what are those three modes. Otherwise, how do you detect whether I have transcended or not? If I'm not familiar with the three modes, then I may maybe still, you know, dwelling in goodness. Goodness is next to pure goodness, but goodness is never pure goodness. I mean material, because goodness always has some kind of a connotation or taint with passion or ignorance. It's not a pure goodness. And it's a very comfortable place, I would say. Goodness is very comfortable.
Yeah.
Because you have a knowledge, you feel happy, nothing bothers you, but that can be also dangerous because the pure goodness is next door, but don't feel like to go. Because there was nothing wrong. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that Krishna purposely, even to an advanced devotee, he gives little struggle. Not that they have any karma or jnana or anything contaminating, no. So that they intensify, oh, I want to go back. Just for that. Because it could be little.
Thank you. I guess for us, our program is that we just, you know, beg for the mercy of Nam Prabhu, of the Holy Name. Right? That's basically our program. And let Harinam Prabhu and let Krishna, like, let them just give us their mercy and Prabhupada, right? So that is our focus, that is our program, and Lord Chaitanya's mercy as well.
I like one part of Prabhupada, 2.72, if you have Bhagavad Gita, you can read it, or I can paraphrase, I don't remember the exact English. But I like the way Prabhupada said it, that going back home, because, you know, amongst devotees, being realistic, amongst devotees, it's a good idea, I want to go back home. But going back home, spiritual world and devotional service, I'm paraphrasing, both are on the same platform, pure goodness. So pure devotional service and going back to spiritual realm are on the same absolute platform. But spiritual world I don't have access right now, but I do have access to devotional service. So the promotion or access, we should encourage devotee always stick to the Harinam chanting or devotional service, whatever service you have. Harinam, of course, compulsory. Must.
Wait, that should be our like meditation and yeah. Our endeavor. Like, that's it. Yeah. You know, like let Krishna take care of the rest.
Correct.
But yeah, that is our, that is within our possibility.
Yes. And Prabhupada used that word in the purport. I don't remember exact sentence. He says, those who are engaged, they are already achieved in spiritual realm. If you have the Bhagavad Gita, I mean, this is so nice,
this
attractive.
Is from the
Gita. Yeah.
Okay, which
2.72.
One? 2.72?
Yeah, it's in the purport, beginning to middle. So I love that. It's like, wow. So if I stick to this devotional principle, devotional
right.
service.
It's like kind of simple.
Yeah.
Not easy, but simple.
Yeah. I don't have to worry about
right.
spiritual world.
Right. I don't have to worry about
yeah.
entering the self same body or.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in the purport, 272, one can attain Krishna consciousness or divine life at once, within a second, or one may not attain such a state of life even after millions of births. It is only a matter of understanding and accepting the fact. Katavanga Maharaj attained this state of life just a few minutes before his death by surrendering unto Krishna. Nirvana means ending the process of materialistic life. According to Buddhist philosophy, there is only void after the completion of the material life, but Bhagavad Gita teaches differently. Actual life begins after the completion of this material life. Actual life begins after the completion of this material life. For the gross materialist, it is sufficient to know that one has to end this materialistic way of life. But for persons who are spiritually advanced, there is another life after this materialistic life. Before ending this life, if one fortunately becomes Krishna conscious, he at once attains the stage of Brahma Nirvana. There's no difference between the kingdom of God and the devotional service of the Lord. Since both of them are on the same absolute plane, to be engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord is to have attained the spiritual kingdom. In this material world, there are activities of sense gratification, whereas in the spiritual world, there are activities of Krishna consciousness. Attainment of Krishna consciousness, even during this life, is immediate attainment of Brahman. And one who is situated in Krishna consciousness has certainly already entered into the kingdom of God. Yes, I forgot about this purport. So that, that is within our reach.
That's, I like that. You push that button. That something we have access now within our reach.
Yes, that is a cultivation, and that is our our proper use of our independence, right? And that is a decision that you make. Like, yes, I will do it. I will go deeper every day. Yes, I will come closer to Harinam. So that is where we make the choice. That is the choice.
Maybe you can say something like how we can bring the devotees more to engage in devotional service. Something like
bring the devotees or bring the people outside?
Both. Different level. We have a...
Right.
We have
Okay. Well, I think first and foremost, it depends on our own individual practice, right? What is that metaphor that you can give to others what you don't have yourself? So I think that is first and foremost, you know, is deepening one's own Krishna consciousness and being committed on a daily basis and having a very strong daily sadhana, right? And if I'm very committed to chanting my 16 rounds every day, minimum 16 rounds, well, 16 rounds. If I'm committed to chanting my 16 rounds every day, it's not so hard, right? If I make that my priority, it is not difficult. If I make that mental resolution, I get it done pretty quick. I get it done pretty quickly. But if my determination is not so strong, and I'm sort of like, well, I have so many other things going on, you know, and I got to take care of my life, and you know, and in between, I'll like do some devotional service. If we have that determination, then that's going to be the result as well. Then 16 rounds is going to seem like so much, so impossible, right? Because Prabhu, I'm busy. I'm busy with my life, Prabhu, right? So I think having that determination and that resolve, like, and putting the focus on that, putting the focus on your 16 rounds, and then other processes of bhakti as well, is not so difficult once you have that, like, strong determination. And how do you get that strong determination? You have to have some degree of, like, being fed up with the material world, or understanding that it's not it's not going to bring you happiness, right? So we have to arrive there at some point, and we have to have that firm conviction that it's not a good program. Like, devotional service is a much, much better program. You know, so let me endeavor in that daily, right? Because we see people pass away, like, all the time, right, from the material world, like, all the time. People who, like, never thought they were going to pass away, right? And then in a couple of weeks, it's like, oh, yeah, they're, like, in the hospital, they're going to leave the body. Like, so this is what it is. Like, don't be fooled by it, right? Don't be like, fooled by these material enjoyments. You know, understand that there's, like, a deeper and eternal happiness, and happiness that is real. You know, so go for that. Don't go for, like, the temporary ending happiness. So that is one idea. Each of us has to have that determination, and that comes within us, from within us. And we also, devotee association is always mentioned in so many of the writings, right? So proper association is very, very important. Because if we see that devotee who's, like, practicing very, very strongly, and he's very, enthused in Krishna consciousness, that's also going to make us enthused in Krishna consciousness. So proper devotee association. And then also, like you mentioned about other people, is making proper friendships with people, you know, so that they feel like accepted, and they feel like they're okay. You know, it's not like, oh, I'm not going to take that association because they're, like, really serious and they're really pure, but I'm, like, all, you know, fallen, and I'm, you know, I have... So I think it's making people feel, like, accepted for who they are, and proper friendships with people, and acceptance is, like, very important, right? Even like, with, your parents, if your parents didn't accept some part of you, it's like, that's going to be, like, put a wall between you and your parents, right? So, but if they, like, fully accepted you, then you're like, yeah, I know that, like, whoever I am, I can come here, I can take this association, and I can, like, get better, and I can get stronger. So I think accepting people where they are and having friendships with them is also very important. But anyway, those are just some of my ideas. Grantaraj Srinivasa Bhagavatam Ki Jai.